Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome along to a very special edition of Thursday Night Football with John Giles. We're streaming live on all your social channels right now. And this will be obviously going out on the radio as well tonight. John Giles, very welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Richie.
I guess we best start with the biggest story of the week, which has all come from something we probably shouldn't have seen yesterday. Just by pure happenstance, the Sky cameras happened to be on hand to catch the opening few overs of Manchester United training, and the reception that Paul Pogba received from his manager and vice versa, which has gone viral, has been viewed millions and millions of times in different versions of videos all around the world. The body language experts have been out, the subtitlers have been out, the lip readers have been out to decipher what was said between the two. But I guess most crucially, most importantly, what we're seeing is a new low, a new nadir to the pair's relationship. I mean, this thing isn't going to get any better anytime soon.
Well, it goes back a good while, you see, Richie. It didn't happen just at the weekend. It went back to last year when Mourinho took him off against Spurs and actually humiliated him publicly for a few weeks. Then you go to the World Cup where Pogba had a very, very good World Cup. Not as good as, I didn't think it was as good as people said it, but anyway, he proved to be played much better there than he did for Manchester United. Then it's back to Manchester United. Now, obviously Mourinho has a job on his hands because people are saying, why can't you get the best out of him like the French manager did and all that, carry on. And I think at that stage, Mourinho blinked in the war between of power between him. He blinked, he made him captain, right? I don't think Mourinho would ever believe that Pogba would. But in other words, we're going to make up. I don't think he'll make up with Pogba. Pogba is a big head about himself. And as he said in a team talk, you're good, but you're not as good as you think you are.
Yeah.
And Jamie Redknapp said it again last night. And I think that's absolutely right. So now you come to this particular season and he plays one or two matches okay, one or two not so good. And then at the match of the weekend, I think Mourinho gave him a right telling off after the Wolves match because he didn't pick up a player. Mm. And then he came out, Pogba, knowing exactly what he's doing, to have a go at Mourinho. And just to go back on it, he said, Pogba says, when we got at home, we should attack. I think attack. Teams are scared when we attack. We weren't able to attack anyway. And then he says, asked why the team was not attractive. I cannot tell because I am a player. It's not for me. So he's had a right go at the manager. And then he's saying afterwards, well, it's not for me to say it. That's really, really a bad attack on a manager to say we should be attacking and we aren't. It's not up to me. That's up to the manager. In other words, he's blamed. That's totally Mourinho's fault because Mourinho had it gone. This is a battle that's been going on for a while, Richie, and I can't see it lasting. Somebody's going to have to make a decision. What's the chairman?
Ed Woodward.
Now, I think Mourinho's in a bad place because he's already fallen out with Woodward for not getting the players that he thought he should be getting, and he's already fallen out with Pogba. I can't see that. I can't see them getting back together on that.
On that scenario, we've basically got a player who clearly isn't interested necessarily in playing for the manager, a manager who's not necessarily interested in trying to make amends with him, and both of them are, well, Mourinho's, you could probably side with Mourinho on this one to say, well, if the guy's not pulling his weight, then clearly he needs to be brought back into shape. On the other side of that, we've got Jose Mourinho and a Manchester United that aren't performing at the level that a lot of fans and possibly the board feel that they should do. Now, we were outlining a situation on the show over the last couple of nights whereby it's very, very much conceivable that neither Pogba nor Mourinho will actually be at the club next year. Yeah. So what United are left with now is a mess of trying to figure out which one is going to last longest or last least. Yeah. Because
there's a thing in football, Richie, first of all. The manager has to be in charge.
Yeah.
Right. You cannot have a player in charge of the situation. And I can understand, I'd be on Mourinho's side in this particular disagreement, if that's what we call it. The manager has to be in charge. There's no doubt about that. I've never been seen a successful team where one player who is causing a lot of trouble is going to be the most important player. Manager has to be in charge of a group of players. And that's what Mourinho's done. And to be fair to Mourinho, in all the clubs he's been, apart from one or two he fell down in eventually, he's been in charge of that situation. I admire him as a manager. The buying and selling the players, he's been in charge of that. He's picked the team. Mm. He's dominated players. He's never let a player get in charge. Happened at Real Madrid and it went to pieces. But he has tried to do that. And traditionally, in my experience with football, the manager has to be in charge. If one player becomes more dominant than the manager, you're in big trouble. Big, big trouble. Because the players have to follow the manager. If you get a player that's the dominant figure, and all players have ideas of what should happen on the pitch, right? So it's only the manager, and I played with Don Revie, and Don Revie did certain things I didn't agree with, but he was the manager. So I go along with that, and he was a great manager.
What was the exchange of ideas like in the training pitch there? Or was there any?
There wasn't any on the training pitch. When we lost a match or two, Don would have a crisis meeting. Everybody would come in, okay, you're all going to have to say what you have to say, get it out here in the privacy of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, you get players like Norman and say, well, Jack, I think you're going too far back. Or Norman say, me and Billy Bremner are not doing this and that and the other. And that they get that off their chest, as it were. Then it comes back to the manager, right? The manager say, okay, now you've all had your say. Like in the case of Big Jack, for example, Big Jack was a big centre half, as we all know, right? There's a lot of time Jack wasn't tracking the centre forward down. Norman the first said, no, Jack, you're not tracking. No, don't agree with that. Billy Bremner, Jack, you're not tracking his turn, and he's turning on the ball, and me and the wee man can't get a bite at him. You've got to do that, right? And in the end, because Jack was never wrong. He was always right, he was never wrong.
Go away, really, yeah.
Oh, never, never. That we had a saying for him. Jack wasn't always right, but he was never wrong. So anyway, now it comes out, and Don Revie says, okay, lads, now you've all had your say. Jack, when the centre-forward goes deep, I want you to track him down.
Yeah.
And Jack is drinking a cup of tea, bangs the saucer, breaks the saucer, he says, right, I'll do it, because you tell me to do it. But you're all effing wrong. So unless Don was what I'm saying there is, if Don wasn't a good manager and a strong manager, Jack would have ruled the roost, right? And other players would say, well, if Jack is doing it, I'll do it, right? So there you need a manager to say, okay, Jack, well, next time the centre forward, I want you to go deep. Don't care what you think, that's what you do. Not just that, I'm only giving an example. There was other players thought certain things, right? But the manager there, because all players are different, you know. Goalkeeper would have 20 players in the wall. Centre half would have nobody going forward, all that, where the manager has to come in and say, right, that's what you do. And I've played in teams, a lot of managers didn't agree. I don't agree what the manager's doing, but he's the manager.
Yeah.
And my take on actually when I played, well, Don Revie's the manager. I don't agree with everything he's doing. But that's not my place. If I become a manager, I'll do what I want to do, but not until then. Mm. You have to go along with it. In this case, you see what's happened, going back to Old Trafford. You've got a player now, and he's very, very clever in the way he does it, Pogba, very clever. You know, he makes his statements here and he makes his statements there. And I watched Carragher last night, very, very good on the television, where he was making the things that people said, you've got to get the best out of him. And Carragher was very good. You get the best out of yourself. You know, you've got to go out and do your stuff. And if it's not good enough, the manager, but you can't wait for the manager to get the best out of you. You know what I mean? That's what you do. And then he said, and he should be free to do something. And Carragher said, free to do what? When you're on the football pitch, you're not free to do things. You have to do things in the benefit of the team. So this is all nonsense surrounding Pogba. You know, Deschamps got the best out of him. Okay. Well, whatever he did, he played, I think it was in his own interest to do so.
Is it not the case that Deschamps didn't necessarily get the best out of him, but Deschamps at least tried to eradicate the worst of him for the spell of a month?
We don't know what he did, but you can't eradicate the worst. When you go on the pitch...
Lessen its influence. Because he's somebody who gets lost in his own head and decides he's going to play the game on his own.
Well, whatever way he did. You see, what Mourinho said afterwards, which was quite right, you want to ask Pogba himself why he played so well. Mm. Right? Now, that went down as he didn't give him enough credit for what he played. But he was absolutely right what he said. It was him that played. It was him that played in a professional way in the semi-final, particularly in the final of the World Cup, right? And what Mourinho was actually saying, why can't he do that for Manchester United? Mm. I don't have to tell him. Just go out and do it. Nobody's stopping him from doing it. But he goes out and he plays, he gets tricky, he gives the ball away, he does all. Actually, he doesn't play in a professional way at all. So I can understand Mourinho going mad. I think he handled it badly last year. But I can understand as a manager, how am I going to get the best out of him if he's not looking to get the best out of himself?
On the Mourinho Pogba relationship. It deteriorated further this week. You mentioned the comments that he made, Pogba, after the Wolves draw. Yes. What followed on from there was, before their League Cup tie on Tuesday night at home to Derby, Mourinho apparently spoke to Pogba and the squad, telling Pogba that he won't be vice-captain anymore.
Yeah.
Pogba wasn't involved in the match. He was up in the stands with a couple of his mates and a couple of the members of the squad that weren't as involved either. And he was posting videos on social media and having a laugh and a joke. And apparently it's that with which Mourinho took exception at training yesterday morning and decided to punish him.
I think that was the final straw. What he was really punishing him about was, you see, I think he was making up to him at the start of the season by making him captain. I think it was probably the worst thing he could have done. Because at that stage, Pogba was saying, I'm in front now. I'm in the power position here. Right? And what happened in the other day, Mourinho told him after the Wolves match that he wasn't doing any stuff, that he'd play, and he gave him a right telling off. Right? Then he responded by saying we got to attack. And then Mourinho responded again by taking the captaincy from him. So what Mourinho, it's a power battle between them. What Mourinho's trying to do now is to say, he's not going to be captain anymore. I told the players not going to be captain. So I'm back in charge here.
Setting aside Pogba for a second, if it was to be Mourinho who ultimately goes first at Manchester United, what does that say to the remaining squad and to the next incoming manager about how things are run there?
Well, it's not going to be good. What they're going to say is, Pogba's won the battle. He is the more influential than the manager was. Now, a new manager comes in, and I think Pogba will behave in the same way. I think that's the way he is. I think he has a head about himself that's just unbelievable.
No matter where he goes, he's going to be the same.
Yeah, he's going to be the same. So now, when a new manager comes in, he's going to have the same problem as Mourinho. How do I get on top of this guy? They're talking about Zidane coming in, for example, right? Zidane can come in. Zidane was one of the great players, as we know. He comes in. He's got the same problem as Pogba. I don't think Pogba has any respect for anybody.
Quickest solution is to sell him then.
Well, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was in Manchester United's position, there's no player, there's no saying in football, no player should be ever bigger than the club, ever, no matter who they are. You know, if you got when Ronaldo, who's got a head about himself as well, under Ferguson, there's no way he could misbehave under Ferguson. Nobody could misbehave under Ferguson. They were gone. And all the great managers do the same. Mm. You can't have a player dominating the situation in a way that Pogba is trying to do and is actually succeeding at the moment. So somebody has to go, and where Mourinho's in trouble is that he's already fallen out with Woodward, because he's criticised Woodward publicly about not getting the players in that he wants. So, you know, Mourinho doesn't behave himself right all the time either. I mean, what he did with Pogba last year was wrong. He publicly humiliated him, took him off against Spurs, he dropped him, he left him in, he dropped him out. So what he was thinking, he said, well, this is what I've got to do with this guy. But this guy is exceptional in terms of being able to play the public,
manipulate, go to
the World Cup and have a good World Cup, then come back to Old Trafford, and Mourinho's in a difficult place and he's making the most of it. So it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out. It could get to the stage where the two of them go. But if I was putting my money on anybody going now, unless he really makes up with Woodward, Mourinho, because you see, he's had a go at me. So he's made two enemies in this trio of power. Like, Mourinho's the manager, Pogba's the player, and Woodward is the thing. Now, he's fallen out with Woodward and he's fallen out with Pogba.
He's essentially in a Mexican standoff, standing like this with two guns in his hand, and they're pointing back at him as well.
They're pointing back at him. That's the way I would read it, Richie. And it's very, very serious from the club's point of view, from everybody's point of view. Because, like, if Mourinho is true to himself at the weekend, or even for the next few weeks, he's not going to play Pogba.
Yeah. We'll have more manager fallout talk with John just after these.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right. John, there was another case of a coming together of player and manager. It happened last night after Liverpool exited the Carabao Cup at the third round stage to Chelsea. They lost 2-1. An exceptional goal by Eden Hazard, which we'll get to momentarily, settled the game ultimately. Jerdan Shaqiri had a penalty, or it's not a penalty, pardon me, a free kick towards the end, which he tried to float in, was looking for somebody's head, you would imagine, for them to get a shot on goal, and ultimately the free kick ended up trickling wide with absolutely no pressure on the Chelsea back four at all. Once the final whistle came, Jurgen Klopp came onto the pitch, as he usually does, But he decided to seemingly have a go at Jerdan Shaqiri on the pitch in front of everybody, giving him a dressing down about how he approached that free kick and possibly other aspects we don't know of his play that evening. I don't know what you make of that, that kind of public dressing down of a player. The Mourinho-Pogba thing is accidental, I guess, because we weren't expecting to see that happen on camera. Everybody knows there's about 28 cameras in Anfield and they're all going to be pointing at Jurgen Klopp at the final whistle. He knew what he was doing there.
Yeah, I think he did. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's ever right in any circumstances, Richie, to criticise a player publicly. That's what the dressing room is for. When you go into the dressing room, you can say exactly what you like and nobody sees it, right? In Shaqiri's place, situation last night. Now, if he was, for example, having a go at him over the free kick, there was an awful lot happened for the goal to be scored at the other end, to be blaming him for that particular situation.
Well, Eden Hazard managed to be about 15 players en route to go.
Why isn't he having... Anyway, I think the main thing is with Klopp, and it's become fashionable, and I'm old-fashioned, I know. I don't think the manager should go on the pitch after the match.
Win, lose, or draw.
Win, lose, or draw. Why is Klopp going on the pitch? He's going to shake hands with all his own players. He's seeing now, as what we consider to be critically having a go at a player on the pitch, which shouldn't happen. They're going to be back in the dressing room in 10 minutes. What is he doing on the pitch? Not him, all the others. He's hugging his players. He can hug them in the dressing room. He's shaking hands and hugging the opposition.
You can do that in the tunnel.
But they're going back in the dressing rooms in 10 minutes' time. You wait and you go into the dressing room yourself. If the players have won the match, let them go and enjoy that and go to the crowd. As a manager, you don't have to do that. Now it's become popular to do it. And most managers are doing it. That doesn't make it right. Mm. Let them come back in the dressing room and you can say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Because in my experience in football, when you go back in the dressing room, no matter how well you've played, Richie, it's never perfect. So my idea is that whatever went happening, you put it right in a studied way. And you don't have a go at anybody publicly. You can have a go where you can tear the head off somebody in the dressing room, but it usually stays in the dressing room. Because there's nothing worse for a player to be seen publicly being humiliated.
I was just going to say, what are you thinking if you're Shaqiri last night and you're standing on the pitch? You're usually, like, we know the way Klopp behaves after the matches. He goes on, he hugs everybody. Shaqiri at one point reaches out the hand as if he's expecting a handshake and hug and instead is getting that in his ear.
He knew what was happening. He knew he was being humiliated publicly. That's what we assume. And I think we're right to assume that's what he's doing. He's going to hate that. Why wouldn't he hate it? Mm. If you go back into the dressing room, and this is from a free kick that had led in a certain way to other things happened before the goal was kicked, was scored. You don't do that. Like, this is only management. I'm not talking about whether it's old or new or anything else. In the old days, the managers went into the dressing room because he knew the players were coming in 10 minutes later. Okay, now the players are going to the crowd along. So what? You wait for them to come in. You don't have to be part of that. And you certainly don't put yourself in a position where you can be criticised for publicly humiliating. That's what it is, humiliation of a player on the pitch. Wait for him to come in the dressing room. And then you have a right going and nobody knows anything about it. And he knows nobody knows anything about it except the two. You're not humiliating him.
What would your immediate reaction have been if you were in Shaqiri's position last night?
I'd be horrified.
Yeah.
He knew what was happening. He knows people saw that. He put his hand out, didn't he? Put his hand out. Mm. I felt sorry for him.
He looked like a kid being admonished by a teacher.
But you don't need to do that. You wait till you come in the dressing room and you say, in that free kick, you could have done a bit better. You could have done this, you could have done that. Or wait till Monday or Friday when you come back into training again because everybody's a bit head up after a match. And the best thing, Matt Busby was the best I've ever seen at it, in my experience, man. You come in after the dressing room, win, lose, or draw, say, okay, lads, put your stuff away in the bath. We'll talk about it on Friday.
Yeah.
Let it cool down. Because everybody, when they're, especially managers, get in such a head up state that they fly off the handle. And where Busby was great, you can't take those words back. You know what I mean? Mm. Like if you come in after a Wednesday night and you had a bad defeat and you played terrible 5-0 and the man says, you are absolutely rubbish. You're a load of rubbish. You were terrible. I don't know what to do. Da, da, da. Now Friday comes and he's given the team talk for Saturday. Now go out there full of confidence and do it. Wednesday, he's had a right go at them. So the best thing actually is to say nothing after the match. And wait till Friday, you can do it. Everybody's calmed down and you can do it in a sensible way. But the idea of Klopp running on the pitch, he's not the only one that does it, but he probably does it more than anybody else. And he's hugging everybody. I'm expecting to start hugging the crowd. For what reason? Apart from showing off and his own ego, they let the players do their stuff. They've done their stuff on the pitch. Wait till they come in after the match. And if you want to have a go, if you want to praise them, that stays in the dressing room. What happens in the dressing room stays. That's what an old saying in football. Not out in the middle of the pitch where he's no right to be. Doesn't have to be. Let the players come in. They've won the match or lost the match, whatever it might be. Then you sit them down and you say, okay, this went wrong. That we'll talk more about it on Friday.
Did a manager or another player, another teammate of yours ever attempt a similar kind of dressing down with yourself or no? It just wasn't a done thing at all?
No.
No.
Well, I was played for Leeds for 12 years. So we were a close-knit group.
But even...
It was part of the game.
Yeah.
You say, I played with these lads, great players. And I would do a lot of talking on the pitch. But if I was having a go at Eddie Gray, for example, nobody knew about that. I'd be close to him. I wasn't shaking my hands and doing the hands and doing that. That's all show.
A couple have a word in his ear.
Yeah, you just, yeah. From where you are, you just have a chat. Eddie, get back and you should be, all that type of thing. But nobody knows about that. Because that's how you have a good team spirit. Do you know what I mean? If I said to Eddie Gray, Eddie, now shaking my hands and Eddie, you should have got back. And I'd say, oh, look at the crowd there. You know, Jazz is having the right go at Gray. Eddie Gray say, who do you think you are? You know, that's what happens. It doesn't happen with good teams. Yeah. When you see a team doing that to each other, you know the spirit's bad.
They're doing it to be seen to do it.
Because it's not my fault. It's his fault. It's a passing of the book in a certain way that humiliates the players on the end of it. Somebody misses a good chance. He knows he misses a good chance. Right? Might be my turn next to miss a good chance. You don't get on to players about missing a good chance. You get on to them for not running back, not doing their thing, taking on the responsibility. Mm. But we can all miss chances. So like I said, my take was when somebody was like, look, don't worry about it. You know, next time. You don't get on to players. You don't get on to your teammates. Because getting on to your teammate is showing a weakness to the opposition.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The opposition, they're having a go at each other. There's nothing better than that when the team spirit fails. You don't do that.
On the game itself last night, Eden Hazard's finish to win the game was something else.
Brilliant.
Where did that rank in your kind of...
Well, it's up there with any of the goals I've seen, because he had to beat players twice over and finish it.
But I don't think beating Alberto Moreno counts as beating a player once, to be honest with you.
He's expected to do that, I suppose. But it wasn't only him. I mean, it was a great goal. Like from the time he came on, you know when you say, well, he's a match winner.
Yeah.
When he's in that mood.
Kevin was sitting there where you are last night and he was saying pretty much the same. You can see it in a player and you can see it in Hazard so far this season. He fancies it.
Really, yeah.
There's nothing he absolutely fears at this stage. He feels he can go out and beat anybody.
See, that's morale again. Yeah. You see, when Mourinho was breaking up, you know, at that particular time, like he couldn't kick a ball. Or he didn't want to kick a ball. You know, and I think he didn't get on very well with Conte last year. So it's keeping the player right. You don't have to bend to him. But there was no, like, this manager seems to be good. He's not going to have a go publicly at him. But so Hazard comes, the spirit's good. See, the spirit's good in the team. And if it wasn't, he wouldn't score a goal like that.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen. Like, team spirit doesn't happen overnight. And it's easily broken. You know, somebody betrays you on the pitch. I say, I miss a chance. And Alan Clark, say, or for example, comes up and starts shaking his hands about, you should have scored that and all that. And I think, who do you think you are? And then I'd be waiting for him to do something, to have a go at him. I mean, that's what morale is. It's encouraging each other.
Besides meeting again on Saturday, Liverpool's defence and their goalkeeper will be completely changed last night. So we're expecting a completely different game.
Different game, Richard. Yeah, different game. Different game. And that was the League Cup. And in many ways, Liverpool could look back on this as the season goes on as a blessing in disguise.
Frees up a couple of Wednesdays.
Well, he gets on the tissue. I mean, I know again, my time at Leeds, I'm going back to Leeds again, because people say, you should have won more than you did. Richie, we used to be running for 3 or 4 trophies every year.
Yeah.
And it was no coincidence. We won the league twice, you know, in 69 and 74. And it was the only competition we were left in. We knocked out of the European competition early on, the FA Cup, the League Cup, and we had that to concentrate. And those players, you had less players to play with anyway. But definitely, you know, when Liverpool are trying to do what they do, which is really to go for the Premiership, and Premiership, I'd say, even more than the Champions League, I think that it'll be a blessing in disguise that they were knocked out early in this particular competition, and maybe even the FA Cup to concentrate on that.
Well, we look forward to it. It should be a good game on Saturday yet again. John Giles, as ever, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Richie.
And we'll have more from John next week.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.